Welcome to the Table Talk Show with Teresa Farley, presented by Ranch Foods Direct and sponsored by the Olive Tech. Teresa hosts the finest chefs and brings you the best restaurants and places to dine. And now here is the most elegant host in radio, Teresa Farley.
And welcome to KRDO Table Talk on KRDO News Radio, 105.5 FM, 1240 AM, and 92.5 FM, presented by Ranch Foods Direct and sponsored by the Olive Tap. I'm Teresa Farney, the food editor at the Gazette. Today we're going to learn about all kinds of new things, a new location for hamburgers, bulk vegan cooking. Doesn't that sound interesting? New Jamaican outlet and Chinese New Year. So without further ado, let's get started. And we're going to be talking with the resident vegan expert, our very good friend, J.L. Fields. She is a culinary instructor, cookbook author, and consultant. And she has just released a brand new book that I love, J.L. I think it's really super duper neat.
Thanks,
it's called
Teresa.
Vegan Meal Prep.
Happy New Year.
Thank you. You too. Yeah, hard to believe, huh?
I know, right? Time flies.
It does. So another year, another cookbook.
It's what it feels like.
But you know what? It's interesting to me that after all these years of veganism, that all of a sudden now somebody has really, you have nailed how to get it done.
Well, you know, there's so many people doing amazing things. I feel like I'm on your radar because we're in Colorado Springs, but I've been vegan now for almost 9 years, and I cannot believe how much has changed from the foods that you can get at grocery stores to the number of books. There was even a point a couple of years ago when publishers would say, oh, the vegan cookbook market is saturated, which whoever thought that was going to happen. But meanwhile, all of these people who aren't even vegan are buying vegan cookbooks and they're buying vegan meats at grocery stores because their doctors are saying...
Is that correct to say vegan meat?
Yeah.
Oh,
100%.
Okay. In other words, you wouldn't say plant-based meat.
Some people might.
Okay. Protein.
Yeah, or you could do plant-based protein, which is certainly a food trend right now. And, you know, listen, 35% increase in plant-based protein and meats at grocery stores is not being driven by vegans. It's being driven by millennials who care about the environment and animal production. It's being driven by folks going to the doctor saying your cholesterol's high, you're about to go in and get a stent in your heart. And that's why vegan cookbooks are still happening and still going, because it's not just for vegans, it's for anybody.
Well, I've heard you and I have talked several times. I've heard you many, many, many times at lectures and what have you. But one of your favorite ways of getting your food prepared healthfully, inexpensively, is to do bulk cooking, like on a weekend.
Exactly.
And that's where the kind of the inspiration for this cookbook came from, I believe.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And that's what I love about the cookbooks that I have written, is all of them have been about sort of authenticity versus following a trend. And in the same way that pressure cooking happened, that book, it was because I already pressure cooked. I'd been doing it for years and then I got a book deal for it. So yeah, you know, in all of my cooking classes, I always say, if you think you're too busy to cook, you don't have time to get food on the table, spend a couple of hours in the kitchen over the weekend or whatever your day off is, and you'll be ready for the week. But mostly it was just like, make a big batch of rice, make a big batch of beans. But now meal prepping has become super trendy. There are YouTube channels devoted to it. And so this book was an opportunity for me to take that formula and turn it into a way to do portion-controlled meals, put together in containers, ready to reheat at the office or when you get home from work, or if five of you in your household can't sit down at the same time, you can all have the same meal, but one of you might have it at 6 and one at 6:30 and one at 7. So it's just a way to sort of stay on track, eat healthfully, and know your food is ready to roll.
Because otherwise, often you think you're going to have time to do something in the morning before you dash out the door, and invariably something happens at the last minute. There's some sort of crisis.
Exactly.
And you get distracted. And then you get to work and you're hungry at lunch, and it's, where do you head?
Yeah, or you go to you got for fast food.
Go for fast food.
Or you don't eat at all, and then you get hangry, and you're mean, and no one likes you at work anymore.
That's right. They start throwing pins
exactly.
And paper clips at you. So by doing this, you have everything right there in the refrigerator ready to go. I think one of my favorite things, and by the way, the cover of this book is beautiful. It's mouthwatering, actually, because you have a picture of your favorite way to fix a salad, actually a... It is, you call it a Buddha bowl?
It's kind of like a Buddha bowl, but now it's a jar salad.
Yeah. Tell us about that.
So I love this cover because it kind of screams everything that I love, which is, I always talk about arugula in cooking classes. It's the unsung leafy green.
Let's hope that it never gets E. coli tainted.
I know, right? Poor romaine. Let's save romaine.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but it's a cowboy caviar salad, which a lot of people have kind of grown up with that, which is like it's corn and it's canned beans. It's a really easy salad, but this is layered, but it's layered on top of the way you build a jar salad is you start with your dressing on the bottom and you start to put the foods in that you want to kind of sit in that dressing for a while, because then when you eat it later, like maybe a dried cranberry or a dried fruit that will become rehydrated in the salad dressing, and then maybe some nuts, and then you start to layer your beans or your tofu, then you put your leafy greens in. And so when it's layered in the salad jar or in the mason jar, it's not getting, you know, your leaves aren't going to wilt. And so what I love about this is that these are things that you can use frozen corn if you want to. You can use cooked or canned beans. So these aren't things that are like, oh, I'm going to spend 3 hours in my kitchen on Saturday making this happen. It's like, no, I'm going to, in the book, I give you a list of all of the things you need to buy at the grocery store. And then I talk you through the time it takes to do that. So you can have frozen corn, canned or cooked beans, your arugula is ready, you layer it, and then you open up your refrigerator all week and you have these gorgeous, vibrant, colorful mason jars ready to just grab and go.
And the interesting thing is that you can eat it right out of the jar like that, or you can put it upside down in a bowl and it all comes out and the dressing's on top. Yep. So it all gets mixed in.
It's amazing. And I use a quart jar and I...
Wide mouth
quart jar. And what I do though is I start with, because a lot of people are meal prepping for portion control. They're trying to, you know, watch the amount of food that they're eating. And so usually with grains and beans, if you're following a plant-based diet, a serving is going to be anywhere from a half a cup to 3/4 cup to maybe even a cup if you're really training for a race or you're trying to gain weight. And so you start with those on the bottom and then just stuff as much leafy greens as you want and mix it. Baby spinach, iceberg lettuce, arugula, because then I don't do mine upside down in a bowl because it would overflow. I take a big old plate and I dump it upside down and I've got all the good stuff on top and I'm just filling up on fibrous, nutritious, healthy leafy greens with a good dose of a good carb and some delicious plant-based protein.
Well, here at the beginning of the year might be a good time to turn over a new leaf.
That's right.
So to speak. So before we run out of time, we're talking about all this other stuff. One of the things, you're going to be launching this cookbook at a party.
That's right. So the book came out last month, and I wanted to wait to get through the holiday season to celebrate. And on January 12th at my Colorado Springs Vegan Cooking Academy, I'm doing 3 classes in 3 hours. That's when I give people kind of a quick dose of something. So a 45-minute class on pressure cooking, 45-minute class on air frying, and then a 45-minute class on meal prep basics. When the classes are done, I'm turning it into a party. So I'll have wine and I'll have non-alcoholic ginger beer, have samples of recipes from the book, and just celebrate another book that was written in Colorado Springs.
Okay, again, when is the... And do people need to make reservations or do they have to attend the classes?
They do not have to attend the classes. And I have a Facebook event on my Facebook page, which is J.L. Fields. If you type in J.L. Fields, you'll see vegan cookbook author and culinary instructor. That's me. Hit the events tab and tell me you're coming.
All right. Well, that is all going to be happening coming up on January 12th, so you don't want to miss that. And visit jlgoesvegan.com to find out more information. JL, always a pleasure to have you here.
Thanks, Teresa.
Good luck with your new book and good luck with the new year.
Thank you.
All bright new things happening for you. Well, we're coming up on a break, but stay tuned. There's more appetizing talk to come. And welcome back to the second course of KRDO Table Talk, presented by Ranch Foods Direct. And I'm very, very excited today to have Ted Vong here. Many of you may not recognize the name. It's the name behind the very adorable little kiosk, hamburger kiosk, that was formerly at Circle and Platt called Shortstop Deluxe Burgers. And interestingly, things happened at that shopping center, didn't they, Ted?
They did. CVS actually came in and bought out the parking lot.
The CVS drug.
CVS pharmacist, correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. And pretty much everybody that's in that shopping center, the whole entire block is getting evicted, if you will.
Yeah.
And they're pretty much going to level out the parking lot and put a CVS right there on the corner.
Oh. So yeah. What did you decide to do?
I decided to move my location out to the southeast corner of Palmer Park and Powers, right behind the Pizza Hut by the old Kmart Shopping Center.
Right. And in between, that's still under construction.
we are waiting for the permit from the county to start our construction process. But meanwhile, we have a food truck out there. We have three mobile food trucks that we use throughout the year to do our special events. So I went out a month in advance and put this food truck out there to see what kind of bugs that we would be working through.
Right.
So electrical challenges, you know, marketing, visibility. I think after about a month, we did a really good job of letting people know,
yeah,
and with the help of the media and everybody else. Yeah, it's working out well.
So you have a really devout following.
I believe so. Our customers are very, very faithful to us, and I'm very thankful for that. If it wasn't for our customers or guests, I don't think I'd be in the position of being able to stay in business for 25 years.
Yeah, I know, so, 25 years.
Yeah.
Well, let's walk down memory lane a little bit, because you're sort of a techie-turned burger joint person, right?
Correct. Yeah.
So, now, and I understand, too, you had quite the journey coming to the United States.
I did. I came over when I was six. It was during the war.
And,
Vietnam War. My parents put us on a boat on our way to Hong Kong.
Whenever you say put us, was it you and your brother?
My family. And
everybody came with you.
Correct. My dad had a tanker business that he sells gas in the pier for boats. So he just loaded up our family and then any family that can fit on the boat. And we made the journey on the way to Hong Kong. As we got to Guam, we ran out of gas. And we were picked up by the U.S. Navy and became refugees. And they transported us over to San Diego. And from that, we were sponsored by a church organization, and we were refugees, and here we are now, you know.
So where did you grow up? Which family sponsored you? Where were they from?
They were from Needles, California, real small. Two gentlemen's name was Ted and Steve, so I adopted the name Ted, and my brother adopted the name Steve.
Okay.
And we spent some time in California, about 6 or 7 years, and after that, I moved to Houston. And about another 12 years there.
And you went to school?
Went to school, Texas A&M.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And then you were mentioning that in your journey toward becoming a hamburger aficionado, you did some stints in the techie world.
Correct. I was a network technician for Compaq Computers, survived three layoffs, and then realized one of these days, you know, I may not make that fourth one. So I came up here for vacation in Colorado Springs, fell in love with the city, and I decided to come up here. I was going to go work for Apple, but when they presented their salary and I looked at them, I was like, well, I don't think that's going to happen. And I worked at a Whataburger when I was going to college. And so I figured that, you know, I can do burgers.
Mm-hmm.
And went down to Houston, looked at this small franchise called Shortstop Hamburgers. I thought I could do that. So 25 years later, I'm still swimming.
There you go.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because the Shortstop franchise or chain pretty much went under, they died out.
Correct.
And you were able to swing a deal where you are the only one in Colorado?
That is correct.
That something?
It is. I think it was a blessing in disguise, just like our move now to Alta Powers in Palmer Park. 2 years into the franchise, the franchisor went under. So just due to lack of support, and basically they asked me, Ted, what do you want to do? I said, well, you know, you guys still owe me some money. If you want to keep that portion of the money and let me have Colorado and just stay out of there and let me do what I need to do. And they said, okay. And so here I am.
I suspect that whenever you were there, whenever you settled at that spot at Platt and Circle, that was where the old Bambino's was.
That is correct.
And it was kind of a little bit of a hot spot because Fargo's is not too far away. And now that whole dynamics of that neighborhood has changed tremendously.
It has changed a lot in the last 25 years. And you're correct. Bambino's been amazing. They were a good anchor in that shopping center. We were very fortunate to be able to join them in there. And we created almost like a food court. You know, you have Italian, you have burgers. There was a donut shop there. SS Subs was there. So it created a good draw for the community to come to, you know, one shopping center for different kind of variety. unfortunately, now, you know, we don't have that option. So,
right. Yeah. But I think your move is pretty smart now, going out further east, because it's kind of like you're reinventing yourself in another neighborhood.
It is.
That needs development.
Correct. Yeah. And the shopping center we're going into is the same, similar concept that we're looking for. You know, we have the Chinese food there. Monica's Taco is also there for Mexican food. We have Pizza Hut. So, again, we're trying
to
create.
Rhinos, too.
We
the
have
Western
Rhinos that's coming
bar,
in. That is correct.
Saloon. Yeah.
Exactly. So that's coming in. And our hope is to create that draw for, you know, it's a little bit more convenient for a group of people that wants to go have lunch or, you know, dinner, and not everybody shares the same interests.
Well, that shopping center has had one life, and now it's kind of getting a rebirth.
Yeah.
And it's becoming a little food court situation. So now you're going to be building a building that looks pretty much the same, except it's much bigger.
Just about maybe 100 square feet bigger, and that's about it. And we're going down to a single drive-thru as opposed to a double drive-thru.
Yeah, the double drive-thru worked really well for you.
It did. What we found out over the years, 75 to 80% of our business is done with the primary drive-thru where the passenger picks up.
Oh.
So with the labor market the way it is, we figure it's best if we just kind of minimize it down to one drive-thru lane, still move our customers through fairly quickly, and also helps us with, you know, the shortage of the labor. For lack of a better word, in the fast food industry, it is a very, very tough world right now to go.
It is hard. And I feel sorry for the people who have a dining room, sit down, and they're trying to staff up for that. It's difficult. Number one, it's very expensive. The minimum wage continues. Well, anyway, that's another whole show.
Exactly.
So let's now talk about what makes Shortstop Burger so amazing.
Shortstop's concept was back to the 50s, you know, back to the old school fresh burgers, fresh produce, kind of like how you would make it at home if you were having a barbecue with the family. Mm-hmm. You know, everything's fresh and cut, made to order every, you know, as you ordered. So,
so now, whenever you get meat in, do you grind it yourself?
We don't. Because we use the broiler, we do need to go with a frozen patty because of and it's out of Steele's Meat, Broomfield local beef. Out of Broomfield, Colorado. Because we use a Nico broiler, we use a fresh patty. It actually will come apart. So we have to have it what they call an IQF patty. So it will hold together through the broiler. We like that using that procedure a little bit better because of the less chances of cross-contamination.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all our produces are pre-fresh daily. We use all name-brand condiments, you know, ketchup from Heinz, mustard from French's. Basically, what makes us unique is you can have it your way, and you actually get it your way when you order it. So, as opposed to, you know, our service, our guests really compliments us on our service and our pricing. We try to be competitive with the bigger national chains, but
so
with a personal touch.
What's your basic burger? What's the price of that?
The basic burger is about $3.49. It's a cheeseburger.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it comes with ketchup, mustard, mayo, onions, pickle, lettuce, and tomato. And if there's something you didn't want on it, you just tell us and that's what you
boom,
get.
Boom, you take it off.
Exactly.
So what kind of buns do you use?
We use a 4-inch white bun from Earth Grain.
Okay.
Yep.
Do you do a whole grain bun, or is it?
We do not.
Okay.
Yeah, we're really simple. There's not a lot on our menu. We keep everything simple. We do burgers, brats, and hot dogs, and that's it. And
fries?
Fries, yes. Amazing fries. Everything's always crispy and hot every time you get it. All our product is always money-back guarantee. I always believe that, you know, you shouldn't have to pay for something that you don't enjoy. If you're the first-time customer, you come to my shop, you try your burger, and say, you know what, this is not what I expected. No questions asked. We refund you your money.
Tell me how you make your fries.
Our fries is, we cook it at 375 degrees. So basically, when a customer orders and come up, we drop the fries at then and there.
Mm-hmm.
And so every order of fries that you get, it doesn't sit under a heat lamp for 4 or 5 minutes. As you order, we drop the fries. So when you get to the window, it's always a fresh, hot, crispy fry.
Yeah. Crispy that's what
outside.
I like. Yeah.
Yeah. Crispy outside, meaty on the inside.
That's right. Mm,
exactly.
That sounds so good.
Yeah.
Well, tell me about the brats. Who makes those?
Johnsonville makes the brats. We
good
flame broil
company
all our burgers. Yep. Our burgers as well as the brats, we run it through the Nico broiler. It comes out and gives you that smoked barbecue taste. So it kind of just reminds you if you were at home cooking this yourself on the grill.
Yeah.
So.
Well, so, okay, now, hot dogs.
Hot dogs.
What?
Nathan's.
Hot dogs? Nathan's.
Yes. We use the Nathan's hot dog. Yeah. And we do a great, amazing chili cheese fry. You can get it with mustard and onions, or you can just get it plain.
Well, now, do you make the chili?
We do not. We use a chef-made chili that it's no beans. So, yeah, we're just back to really old school, you know.
And then do you do a particular type of soft drink?
Pepsi's our primary carrier. Right now, we're using bottled drinks at our food truck out on Powers.
Right.
Once we open, we use fountain drinks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then we have amazing milkshakes.
You know, really?
A lot of compliments on our milkshake. Just not out of the food truck right now, but you know, once the store opens, we'll have our milkshake.
Do you have one of those machines that mix it up for you? And then you just, yeah.
Correct. It's made by Taylor. Uh-huh. It's a model 5454. Yeah. It's just, it draws out quite a bit, quite a few milkshakes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there's so much to look forward to. And for you, a bright new future. Gosh.
It is.
Starting all over. Now, do you have children that work in the business also?
I do not. Actually, I have a son that's in the tech industry. He's in cybersecurity. And my other son's a bartender up in Denver.
Oh, good for him. Well, you should have him come down and make some of those milkshakes, adult milkshakes.
I think he can do that.
I bet he can. Well, what if besides a milkshake, if you wanted to have a dessert at Shortstop, what would you get?
We don't have any desserts. Like I said, we keep a very simple menu and, you know, in and out.
You should come up with, you know, some of the Vietnamese puddings. They have you had, yeah, obviously, I'm sure you've had those with the tapioca. I'm getting a nod over here from Molly.
I have not had that, but I think I would definitely love to try it.
It has fruit in it and beans. It sounds kind of strange to be a pudding, but it's icy. It's crushed ice in it. Oh, it's so refreshing and good.
I'll have to come and try it.
Maybe not in January, but come March, April. That's great.
Absolutely.
Ted, so nice hearing from you and having you come in today and catching us up on all the good stuff you're doing at Shortstop.
Thank you for having me, and Happy New Year.
Thank you. You too. Well, we are at the end of our second segment. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back with more tasty news. Welcome back to the third course of KRDO Table Talk presented by Ranch Foods Direct. And as I mentioned earlier in the opening, we are going to be talking about a very festive Asian holiday coming up. And we have Molly Su here. She is the founder and chairwoman of the Colorado Springs Chinese Cultural Institute.
Hi, Teresa. How are you?
I am fine. Always so good to see you.
Oh, thank you.
You look so good in that red. Always. Your Chinese red. It's
Chinese
beautiful.
Red, because New Year's coming.
That's right. That's right. So how many years have you had the Institute?
Oh, gosh. Almost 20.
Really?
Almost 20 years.
Oh,
so,
my goodness.
Yeah.
Right.
So next year, 2019. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It will be our 18th. Annual festival for Chinese New Year.
So whenever you started the Institute, it was really to help teach Chinese, children Chinese.
Back that time, I was the principal of a Chinese language school. And then my student always asking, said, Miss Molly, where can I learn culture? Because we're here learning Chinese language. So there, back that time, was not any places you can learn about culture. That's why it gave me the inspiration that I wanted to create a center or create an organization to offer people opportunity to enjoy our culture and learn. Yeah.
Well, it's wonderful, and it's grown tremendously. And, of course, the highlight of the year always is the Chinese New Year. And this year, it is, drum roll, Year of the
Boar, which is a pig.
Yeah, well, I always say you're the pig. And, you always hear me. You cannot ever come and talk with me without me mentioning the famous ham, pork roast. Is it a pork roast that's at
Jade Dragon Restaurant?
Yes. They just do it. Oh, my gosh. I always tell everybody.
Uh-huh.
Some people have pictures of their family and, relatives and that kind of stuff on their desk at work, and I have a few of those, but right in the center I've got a picture of that ham. That
it's just delicious. It looks good and tastes good, smells good, and only thing is you can't find in Colorado Springs, not able to, unless you know the restaurant owner.
Right.
And they're willing to do something homemade.
Well, here's the thing about it. Since it's a year of the pig, I think that we should make it some sort of a challenge that every Asian, Chinese Asian restaurant, every Chinese restaurant, should try to make that ham.
Oh, absolutely right. I love that idea, Teresa. I think you should go out to tell them.
Maybe we should start beating the drums and kind of rally the forces and have a class. Well, maybe we could get the chef at, is it Lucky Dragon?
Or Jade Dragon.
Jade Dragon.
Yeah.
He does it with Chinese five spice. Oh, my gosh. It's just,
I know.
It's delicious.
I know.
Sorry, JL. Don't want to offend you anyway.
But well, different culture has a different, food culture.
Yeah, it's a very different
food. Good.
Okay, so we've rambled around about my favorite ham probably long enough. So what's going to be happening this year at the City Auditorium?
It's still at the City Auditorium, and the time will be from 10 o'clock on January 26th.
Right.
It's a Saturday. And the time is 10 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the evening.
You have all sorts of, as you say, I love to watch the lion dances. I could never figure out how in the world, how many people are under that?
Oh, at least like 20 or 30.
Really?
They've been practiced all year round, and, they're very, very busy. This group particularly, we invited them coming down from Boulder. So can you imagine early in the mornings, especially when in a snowy day, they have to drive all the way from Boulder, haul up all the equipment and people and performers and
So you're talking it's all of the drumming and the lion dance. Mm-hmm. There's another dance that you have too that you've got everything covered. Kung Fu demonstration.
On the floor. And also have a tea house. You've been there, right?
Well, I have been, but it seems like this year it should be even bigger and better because it is the year of the pig, right?
Yeah.
I just love ham. Yeah. Okay. So then what about the Chinese yo-yo demonstration? That sounds amazing.
Yo-yo demonstration. Some local school, after school, they start teaching that now.
Really?
You have seen, people have seen yo-yo. Like one.
Yeah, I'm lucky if I can get it to come back
up
once. But I think they do them over their
shoulder and then make a circle. Then,
do they walk the dog? How they make it roll along the ground? I think that's what it's called. I believe that's, my brothers used to say that, I think. Maybe they were just being derogatory to me.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Possibly. Okay, so we've got the yo-yo demonstration that is not to be missed. And then Chinatown.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that.
Chinatown, we tried to create that area, has all the vendors there selling Chinese merchandise or anything related with Chinese business and kind of medicine or selling a tea or even sometimes chiropractors has booths there. People can enjoy the massage over there because that's part of Chinese culture too.
Is that part of the Eastern medicine?
I believe so. Yeah. In Chinese medicine, we have our acupuncturist. And she always there and try to promote her business and selling the Chinese herb, and acupuncture. It really works.
Yeah. Have you had it before?
Oh yeah. My parents. It's a culture thing. It really works. Yeah, I enjoy it.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, there you have from the expert. The ones, of course, we're here talking about food, and you have the Taste of China. Do you know who's going to be there this year?
For sure, we try to include not just Chinese food vendor. We want to include all the Asian food, including Korean food and Japanese food. For example, last year, we have a Japanese restaurant that all the way from Denver. Can you imagine? Some food they have pre-made early in the morning. As Japanese food, if you want to eat sushi, it has to be fresh. you can't, you know, prepare ahead of time for too long, last for too long. It will turn too harsh. You know, the rice will dry.
You don't want it to.
No.
Fish.
So they always early in the morning, they get up like at 3 o'clock and start making sushi and then bring all the way down from Denver.
And the prices are reasonable, too.
Very reasonable.
Well, speaking of prices, what are the tickets? We should be getting the tickets right now, correct?
Yeah. The ticket price is at $6 for adult. And military, we give them just a dollar discount to show our, you know, sincerity. Thank you for their service. And kids under 5, they are free to get in. Yeah.
Okay. And so that's really easy to do. Where do they get the tickets?
At the door.
Okay.
At the door, yeah.
So and you usually fill that place up.
Oh, please come early. Please
yeah,
come early.
Try to get there at 10 o'clock, particularly for the food court.
Food court, yeah. The food, we try to tell the vendors start selling after the line dance, because the line dance is really, really... Everybody wants to focus on mm-hmm. and the very festivity.
So is that the, kind of at the beginning of the event?
Right from the beginning, like 10, 15,
yeah.
10:30.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, gosh, there's so much to do. And this is just such a great way to understand more about all the Asian community here. Molly, do you have any clue how many what the populace of the Asian community is?
I know from almost 20 years, the Census 2000, it shows Asian population is 2,000. But now it's 18 years later, right? I'm
yeah.
sure at least like 4,000 or 3 to 4,000.
So how did you happen to come to Colorado Springs?
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Boy.
Well, I can hardly wait now. I'm ready. I'm ready for it.
I've been in Colorado Springs since 1998.
Okay.
Retired with my husband. We decided to move here because my husband, he's a physician. He retired and he wants to go find some places for retirement. Colorado Springs is a beautiful place, the most beautiful place on earth even. Yeah.
Yes.
So that's why we're here.
Okay. Well, of all these years that I've known you, been in your home with, remember when we did the tea thing?
We have done a lot. Thank you so much for having me every year here.
Well, thank you for coming every year.
Sure.
But, and actually, you at the City Auditorium, you'll have an area set up that is like a tea house.
Yes.
Do you have somebody reading tea leaves at there?
We do sell tea, but it's already made tea. You can sit down, order a cup of tea and drink there, have a lunch there. And Tea House also sell cookies and snacks, and we have entertainment there too. And right now we're still open for any store who's selling tea.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and welcome to be a vendor. In
okay.
our show. Yeah.
How do they get hold of you if they are interested?
Oh, just call me. My phone number is 719
287-7624.
Thank you, Teresa.
And then you can also go to the website, which is cscci.org. And that's very easy, cscci.org.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll have all the information right here about the big Chinese New Year at City Auditorium, which, by the way, if you're going to go there and pick up a ticket at the door. They are located at 221 East Kiowa Street. Remember, it's going to be 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on January 26th. So you've got
yes.
a few days to get your ducks in a row, so to speak, or your pigs, and get ready to come to the big event, the festivities. And it's so much fun because I love it. Many of your people, the Chinese people, come in costume, and particularly the children, and they're
yes,
so,
that's so
adorable.
Cute. Yeah, especially non-Chinese, always non-Chinese, they're dressed like a Chinese, especially look so cute, extra cute.
They are yeah. adorable,
mm-hmm.
there's no doubt about
yeah.
it. Just amazing. So now, are you also going to be having a dinner, a special New Year's dinner?
Hot pot. Have you tried a hot pot?
Hot pot.
Hot pot. It's kind of like an American fondue.
Yeah.
But it's a traditional Chinese New Year food.
Okay.
The hot pot, yeah.
Well,
we're going to have that around January, the end of January, February.
Well, Molly, again, thank you so much for coming in. I'm excited to try out a hot pot. I'll get right on that.
Yes.
We're coming up on a short break, but there's still one more scrumptious segment. Welcome back to KRDO News Radio for now the last course of our show. And I always call this dessert. And actually, because we enjoyed talking to JL so much earlier in the program, we have held her over because there were a few more things I wanted to mention about the cookbook, which is called Veg Meal Prep. JL, one of the things that we didn't mention in here, but you start off the book, the first half of the book, you give all the details that are required to prepare 8 meals for a week. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's eight weeks of meal preps.
Okay. Yeah,
So it's several meals. And the idea behind that is a lot of people have been bulk cooking like we were talking about earlier, and then they get really bored with their food. So it's kind of an art or a formula of like, how do you put everything together so that you'll actually use it during the week? And the reason we put it at the front of the book was to kind of model how meal prepping works. And then the book has 70 recipes. And once you kind of get into that groove, then you sort of know what you like and what you don't like. And so the idea behind a meal prep is that you're going to spend anywhere from, let's say, 90 minutes to 2 hours preparing some food. It depends on what the meal prep is. But it's going to be several things. And the way it's laid out in the book is to say, okay, you're going to make 4 things right now. Maybe it's going to be 2 breakfasts, 1 snack, and 1 lunch. And I talk you through which recipe to start when and at what point do you stop.
See, this is the thing I wanted to point out, because until you have the book in your hand, it's a hard concept to get around. But in order to accomplish making 8 meals for a week all at once, you need to have a plan. And that's what you have walked through. And you have it like a stopwatch.
And it's not 8 meals for the week.
Okay. Let me try one more time.
No, there are 8 sections to that first part of the book. And it takes you through several meal preps. For instance, I just opened up the book and came to the one that I call Grain Goodness. And it is 5 days of breakfast and snacks. And so of those, you're going to be making pumpkin steel cut oats, a veggie hummus pinwheel, savory pancakes, and baked granola. You're going to eat them throughout the week. So it's 3 recipes. You're going to go into the kitchen, spend about an hour and 15 minutes, but then you're going to have all of these portioned out and ready to roll so that you have breakfast ready for 5 days this week and you have snacks. Then there's some that are more elaborate. It might be breakfast, lunch, and 2 dinners. And so you go in and you're like, this is what happens with meal prepping. People get very ambitious and they go, I'm going to make all my food for the week. Well, you forgot that you're going out for dinner on Wednesday night. You forgot that you have a meeting on Thursday morning before work and you made all this food and you don't eat it. Now look at your calendar first. Then say, okay, I know that I need to have a couple lunches and a few snacks and 1 breakfast. Then go through the book, find those recipes and prep them, and you adjust it to your real life and you save money.
There you go. That's the key. Okay. So finally, I got this straight. Yeah. But okay. Then tell us about, you mentioned you do breakfast and you're going to do the pancakes.
Yes.
So you go ahead and make the batter and bake them and freeze them.
You can do that. You can do it a couple of different ways. I personally like to get my batter ready and I save it in a big mason jar. And then in the morning, I'll just pour it in a skillet real quick and do it. But real meal preppers don't even want to do that. So you can make them in advance and you can actually store them in the refrigerator and then you just reheat them in the microwave, or you can freeze them. Almost all of these are designed to be reheated in the microwave or in a saucepan.
And a lot of them are eaten raw. Some of the bowls we mentioned.
Yes,
earlier.
A lot of salads designed for that. The pinwheel wraps, if you think about it, I mean, it's hummus. So obviously that was a cooked bean to start with, but it's raw vegetables and it's an in a tortilla and you roll it up and you slice it up. And actually, I want to bring that up because it's funny. My editor really pushed back on pinwheels. So pinwheels traditionally are an hors d'oeuvre that has lots of yummy stuff on it. And you would think that the tortilla would get soggy. But what I do is I have you put a really big leafy green on the tortilla first, then put everything on top of that. So now you have a leafy green barrier between dressing or vegetables and the tortilla. So it's going to last a couple. But in this case, that one I suggest that you eat within 3 days.
Okay.
Some, I say 3 to 5. Some can go as long as 7.
Okay. So what is the price of the book and where can it be found?
It is on Amazon and any other online bookstore. The cover price is $16.99. But you know how Amazon goes. It can go down as low as $13 or $15. But it's anywhere books are sold.
Okay. Well, again, we mentioned earlier that super excited that you may develop this book, and it's high time. I think it's a brilliant thing to have for people who are just wanting to eat healthy.
Yep.
In this time of year, that's a good time to do that. I wanted to switch gears because one of the things that we didn't talk about is the fact that you do vegan restaurant reviews for the Gazette.
Yes.
Thank you very much. And what do you see in this new year happening with vegan in the restaurant industry?
There will be more and more vegan options at local restaurants. People may not realize this, or they make an assumption about Colorado Springs and the dining scene. We had our second annual Vegan Restaurant Week in November of 2018, we had 23 restaurants participate. I surveyed those restaurants after, and only 7 have responded so far. But of those 7, they served over 1,000 vegan plates from just those 7 establishments. They made good money that week, and they saw that vegans will come out for the vegan food. I just got off the phone with someone last month. And I can't say yet, but they'll be opening early in the new year. And they specifically wanted to talk to me because they wanted to make sure that they were getting vegan right. And what I loved about that, because they said, you know, we were going to have honey, but we heard that some vegans don't eat honey, so we're going to have agave. That shows me that restaurants are paying attention to trends, that they are understanding veganism better, and that they realize that it's a market. As I've always said, I remember saying this to Greg Howard when he was with McCabe's years ago when I first moved here, and I said, you may think that you don't need to have vegan options. But if I'm going out for dinner, my husband and I, and there are 6 of us, they're always going to say to us, where can you eat? And if you don't offer vegan options, you lost 6 people that night because you wouldn't feed 2 of us. And I think that the restaurants are seeing that now. If you want to, if you want to make money, you need to appeal to everybody.
Wow, that was impactful.
It's true.
Yeah. So tell us some of your favorite restaurants to go for vegan in Colorado Springs.
Well, so what's really amazing, and people don't realize this, we have 7 vegan restaurants now.
Come on.
Okay, I do. The Burrowing Owl, Moxie, Santana's Vegan Grill, Nourish Organic Juice, Ola Juice Bar, and Sweet Elizabeth's Organics. All 6 are vegan. Yes. Oh, and Willamette, and that's 7. Yes. So Willamette Market in Delhi, everything on their menu is vegan. They do have a couple of things in the back that their locals can ask for, but everything on the menu is vegan. So we have 7.
Okay, I have to tell you that I had my first hot dog at Willamette Market, and it was a carrot. Rolled in soy sauce.
Yeah, well, that's a carrot dog. It's very trendy, and it's for people who want to eat whole foods, plant-based.
Carrots.
But they had the vegan hot dog. You could ask for the vegan one.
I could have had the vegan thing, but I thought, I was expecting.
Actually, that carrot dog is delicious in their baked potato, because then you're eating vegetables. That would be no different than, a dinner where you had a baked potato and put
beans. That's a big stretch. JL. A vegan hot dog.
But you know what?
A carrot and a potato.
Hey, I think that chefs who can make vegetables sing should be lauded.
Make vegetables sing. I like that. I like that quote a lot. So anyway, as a matter of fact, you did a review, and somehow or another that vegan Willamette carrot did show up on the, and I have to be honest, I got calls about that. And they thought I had written about this and raved about it. And was like, did you notice whose byline was there?
Yeah, no kidding. Oh, yeah. Well, that review, what was funny about that one too, we had the most negative reviews ever online because people were mad that it was a vegan review instead of reviewing the other food, which I thought was really funny. But
that's
then
interesting, yeah.
But then Willamette decided to go strictly vegan. So there you have it.
Oh, okay. So that was their choice, right?
Yep.
So, okay. So coming up in January, what do you have your eye out for? Which restaurants are you going to review, or should we not say anything?
Well, you know, I haven't decided quite yet what's going to happen in February or March, but I keep what I love is that readers have been emailing me and telling me where they eat, because I think people should know about this vegan dining review. Obviously, I just realized I've been doing this for almost 5 years. No one thought a vegan dining review would last in Colorado Springs for 5 years.
My editor, one of them.
Exactly. And yet he keeps me around. But the thing is, I'm not just reviewing vegan restaurants. Obviously, we have 7. But what I'm doing is trying to show people, no matter what lifestyle they follow or dietary choice they follow, if you're looking for healthy, plant-based, or vegan food, you can find it all over the city. And that's what I do. And so I love it when people send me tips on Facebook or send me an email and say, hey, I was just at this restaurant and they had 3 vegan options.
And as a matter of fact, Ted, jump up here. You were, JL was giving him a little a lecture. What about doing a...
Yeah, well, it wasn't a lecture. It was really just trying to encourage. Well, because when I was listening to your interview and you talked about Nathan's hot dogs and you talked about the Johnsonville brats and you were talking about the burger, and you could get a frozen Impossible burger, you could get a Beyond Burger brat, which are amazing, and you could get a Field Roast hot dog, and I would come and eat at your place.
I would definitely entertain that thought. You know, always up for good suggestions. The food industry is always constantly changing. So, yeah, it's definitely not off the chart for us. We would definitely entertain that.
Ted, let everybody know where you're going to, they're going to be able to find you.
Okay. We're going to be at 5819 Palmer Park Boulevard, and that's on the southeast corner of Palmer Park and Powers by the old Kmart Shopping Center.
Okay. And Molly, come up here and remind everybody about Chinese New Year.
Yes, Chinese New Year will be on January 26th, which is a Saturday, from 10 o'clock in the morning till 4 o'clock in the evening.
Well, thank you all very much for being guests today. I really appreciate it. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in to KRDO Table Talk on 105.5 FM, 1240 AM, and 92.5 FM, presented by Ranch Foods Direct. If you missed some part of the show, visit KRDO.com to find podcasts. Hope you enjoyed today's show. Next Saturday, you're going to hear about food trends, new breakfast eatery, and places for kids to play with while parents dine. Happy eating.
You've been listening to the Table Talk Show with Teresa Farney, presented by Ranch Foods Direct and sponsored by The Olive Tap. Join Teresa and her guests Saturday afternoons at 1. Listen live at KRDO.com and on demand at KRDO.com. Select the radio tab and click on podcasts.